Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, 6:06, 30th of July, and it's unbelievable outside. It has been raining and pouring all night, and there's a lot of water on the road right now, and some of these streets are almost kind of, I would say flooded, but there's a lot of water on them, so be careful driving. And it's just been, wow, it's just been an incredible night. I mean, it was, I had my door open all night. But when I got up, it was absolutely pouring. So just be aware of that. And I've been looking for a good a broadcast of this rain, and I just don't know if really anybody's on top of it right now. I was listening to KVIA, and they're just kind of, it didn't seem like they were on top of it. So you've got, well, let me see what I can find here for you. But we've got a flash flood watch that just came on. If you've got any road conditions out there, like, call me 523-1450. But it is just been a lot of water that's come down, and it started yesterday. If you were kind of watching last night, around 4:30, 5 o'clock ish, it started to come in. A storm cell came in, pretty much took out downtown in terms of the amount of water. And then after that, it just kind of rained off and on all night where I was. I've got a clip. This is from north, but I'm going to try to get some information on the local, try to find out how much water's been coming down.
Look at this, flooded streets in Grants. It's one of many places in New Mexico hit by rain today. Maxine Montes shot this video this afternoon. Also in Grants, April and Tim Purell posted this picture on our Facebook page of a vehicle stuck in high water, in serious trouble there. And First Street was more suited for a boat than a car. This one comes from Vanessa Pena. And Jorge, lots of people want to know what is going to happen tonight, and I would guess maybe more rain.
Exactly. We do have another round of heavy rain, this time away from areas like Grants, good news, but eastern New Mexico could deal with it tonight. And still a flash flood watch in effect until 3 in the morning tomorrow. Does include Albuquerque and Santa Fe, where there is actually a flood advisory in effect. We'll show you that in a moment. But there you see statewide from Tier C to Silver City, heavy rain there, along with Santa Rosa up towards areas like Las Vegas and Mauna County. Here in the metro, just some light showers popping up in southern Bernalillo County, right around Isleta Pueblo. That's moving towards the north along Interstate 25. And there you see those heavy showers around Santa Fe and Los Alamos, where there is a flood advisory in effect. Heavier rounds to the east. Now Las Vegas dealing with it, and Wagon Mount. And there you see in Santa Rosa, big patch of heavy rain there, also near Klein's Corners and towards southwest New Mexico. We'll talk more about the chance of rain tonight, how much has fallen already, and how much more we can expect coming up in my full forecast. Tom?
Okay, Jorge, thank you. And this storm is offering plenty of photo and video opportunities, so we invite you to upload the ones you take by clicking on share for at KOB.com.
Anyway, I'm looking at NM Roads right now to try to find out if there's any road closures, road conditions and all that type of thing. What? Oh, good. I thought you're bursting in here to give us an update on the weather. Do you know anything about the local road conditions? Thanks for the help. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming in here. All right. So for some reason, I thought that was a update. I just got on my phone a flood warning from weather.com. I've got that app, so it puts up the latest. You know, it's got an app, so it's able to kind of let you know what's happening. Anyway, it looks like I'm going to have to do a little more fact finding over the break. Just to let you know, about half of New Mexico is now drought free, according to KOB. About 49% of the state is free of drought conditions following the fourth wettest 6 months the state has seen. Albuquerque Journal reports a drought was present statewide in 2014 July, about a year ago. Severe drought, 77% compared to 1% currently. So somebody was giving me this lecture yesterday. Well, don't worry, this rain's not going to really do anything about the drought. Some farmer was telling her that, and I'm like, I don't know if. Have you been, like, watching how much rain's been coming down, and I was just driving by Elephant Butte yesterday, and it just looked to be a lot higher up. So, and every one of these storms is bringing water into our reservoirs, so we got to be very grateful. Socorro County Extension Agent Jessica Smith said calves are fat and cattle are fat and sassy. So I guess they get sassier as they get older. All right. So anyway, that's good news. About 50% over, but only 1% of the state is in severe drought. And I wonder where that 1% is. Kind of makes you wonder. All right. So if you've got any road conditions that you think are concerning, please 523-1450, call them in. Or 805-6180, text him to me. I got the text machine right here. But there was just a lot of water. There was, okay, and I've just got this another. I got more than one phone in the building. But looks like the same one. Flash flood warning in this area until 8 a.m. Avoid flood areas. Yeah, check local media. Well, this is local media. I'll find out some more. I'm very curious as to how much rain we got last night. I'll have a pretty close guess on that last night. Now, I've got here from KOAT, active monsoon pattern continues, although I don't need to tell you that, but, it says, according to this article, Albuquerque Metropolitan was soaked again on Wednesday. Seventh wettest July so far on record. Just talking about all of the rain that is coming down. But, you know, I was driving last night, and, you know, this storm came in. Offices downtown, and those streets flooded, down off of Loman and Campos and everything, going up Loman so fast I couldn't believe it. I mean, the street was literally full of water, and on the left side, you know, it gets a little bit heavier over there, and it was just incredible. I mean, within a few minutes, you know. So that's what these storm cells can do to us. You know, you look off in the distance, and you see this massive thing coming down, and you're like, wow, what would that be like to be in that? Well, we found out yesterday. Anyway, we'll take a little break here. I'll get you some more storm news. There's some national news out there. The bodyguards, the Secret Service, a guy wrote that Bill Clinton has got a busty blonde mistress who's nicknamed the Energizer. I have a clip on that later, but Hillary Clinton seems to be in serious trouble to me, even though she's way ahead. So anyway, we'll take a break at 6:15. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. I'll get some more weather info when we come.
Mm-hmm.
I've got NM Roads up here. I'm looking at it, and the only thing that I see that they're warning about is the road on 70, and it's not weather related. It says White Sands Missile Range periodically has missile firings over 70, and during the firings, the roads will be temporarily closed, and that's up to date. And I don't really see anything else, but I am telling you, there were roads that looked like they were totally covered with water last night when I was going home. I'll keep you posted on this when I find something out, but it doesn't. I just don't have any other information right now, but stay posted. And I'll try to find out from some of the other broadcasters if they've heard anything out. 523-1450, if there's a weather condition, if there's a road condition you want people to know about. And I'm looking out, and it's still raining right now, so just be careful this morning. We do have a flood warning this morning for the next 2 hours, and one of the services, weather.com, says heavy rain this morning. So anyway, and I'm just trying to see if there's anything else. Yeah, AccuWeather says heavy rain, 64 degrees. It got down into the 60s last night, which was kind of nice. So that was good. All right, so we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Ted.
Hey, Ted. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Hi. I did pretty good. I just had some information for your viewers on the USGS StreamFlow site. You can see if there's any water running up in the Gila, and apparently they haven't been getting the same amount of rain that we have. Either that, or it's been really slow and soaking in. So far, as of a day or two ago, it was below the 30-year stream flow average, about 80 cubic feet a second.
Huh. Well, that's pretty good.
I was kind of hoping that maybe it would be up so we could kayak a little bit up around the Gila cliff dwellings, but looks like it's too low for that.
You sound very sophisticated, Ted.
Oh, thank you.
I've never kayaked near the Gila, the dwellings. I've got to admit.
Yeah. Well, have a good day, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, what's the rain condition where you're at?
Oh, it's raining. It's probably been raining all night. I didn't hear it while I was sleeping, but it's coming down pretty steady.
And were you able to see what the road looked? Have you driven it all this morning?
No, I haven't. I imagine there's wet conditions with a lot of ponding and puddling. They've always got that big pond around the curve. When you drive around the Pan Am Center, they come with a vacuum truck and suck it dry so that cars can pass without splashing. But I'm sure the usual places will hold water.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Ted, well, thanks for the information, and stay safe out there.
Well, thanks. You too.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, I'm looking at the Doppler weather. If you go to just put in Doppler and then El Paso, and you'll get a beautiful, I'm trying to multitask here, which I'm terrible at, as you know. Got a beautiful Doppler radar, and what I'm seeing is that They've got, well, you know, the clouds appear to be over down by Sierra Blanca all the way up to Truth or Consequences, but there's no, for example, no clouds in Cloudcroft, Ruidoso, Silver City, Lordsburg, all of these other places. So Roswell appears to be located just over El Paso in Las Cruces and Truth or Consequences. Now, according to this map, the colors will tell you how intense the storm cover is and basically how much the rain you're getting. And it goes from basically light blue, dark blue, green, dark green, yellow. As you go up that scale, it gets more and more intense, and we're in yellow right now. So, and now the reason that I came here, though, was the storm totals on how much we've gotten, and it looks like in the direction of Deming, a little bit away from Las Cruces, they got an inch up that road, quite a big area, an inch or more, up to 3 inches, although I can't really, I don't know exactly how you read this thing, but it's basically, they will show you from the storm how much has come down during the storm, but it looks like we've gotten in Las Cruces a good inch last night, I would think, from reading this thing. So that's the green area, that's about an inch, and then coming up into yellow, and there's just a little bit of yellow over Cruces, and that's yellow's like an inch and a half. So we got a fair amount of water. I wish we could get this water, that we could figure out how to get this water saved, because, you know, it's obviously the water is such an enormous issue in the state, and especially in this area, and you don't really understand it, you don't really notice it as much until there's a drought, and then anyway, if we could get the rain off of houses, if we could get some of this flood water, and so I was thinking last night, you know, we had spent this $1 trillion on the stimulus, and X number of years ago, that the government does have money to spend at times. And I'm wondering if you did a government program in which you gave a tax abatement, you know, tax relief or whatever, for people who converted their house into a rain collector, you know, had that kind of thing. And you'd have to have you'd have to have companies. There are obviously companies that do this, especially in places like California, but that would be great to save all this rain. You know, it's not like we don't have the resources. It's just, it's very difficult to save it when it comes down, because as they say, when it rains, it pours. But it looks like we're going to get more rain, certainly from this Doppler weather pattern that I'm looking at right here. There's a lot of different looks that you can go in there. It's very fascinating. I would encourage you guys to see there, but I don't see that there's any, to sum everything up, I don't see that there are any roads that are closed for anything other than missiles. So, you know, just duck when you see the missiles coming. All right. Now, I'm looking at AccuWeather, and it's got a little picture down there. It says thunderstorms returning or increasing the rest of the week. And then it's got this picture from Southern California, say San Diego area, up to like LA, across virtually the whole state of Arizona, and then a little bit into the bottom of New Mexico, but then up kind of this blob that goes up into New Mexico and Colorado. So let's just see here. The storms will tend to be rather slow moving and put down a great deal of rain in a short period of time. The storms have the potential to bring 0.25 to 0.50 of an inch of rain in about an hour, which is enough to cause flash and urban flooding. A small number of storms can last longer and be more potent. Tucson, Arizona was smacked with 1.3 inches of rain in 2 hours during Tuesday evening, so 2 nights ago. The storm produced wind gusts of 64 miles an hour. And they did a successful swift water rescue of two adults in the Rodeo Wash area in Tucson. and they're giving out caution warnings, obviously. So anyway, you know, this with these weather patterns, the monsoons moisture is kind of coming up through Mexico, and we're definitely getting some of this ourselves. So we would be under the same warning, and it is for the rest of this week. So just be on notice that we could be getting some more rain, and also thunderstorms, and also flash flooding and wind and everything. And when the storm came in yesterday, it was pretty windy. So, all right, so let's take a break. I've got kind of an interesting story on Bill Clinton, the guy that you thought was pretty much over. He's got an affair, but Hillary's got her problems too from this affair, I'm sure. And they said some nasty things about her, and I'll share those with you. We'll be right back. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. And don't forget to get your weather commentary in here if you've got anything that you think people should be informed of. We'll be right back at 6:30 on the button.
When it's over.
News from Las Cruces and the region on KOBE, AM 1450.
Doniana County Sheriff's Office says a man believed to be armed and dangerous was shot and killed at a Westside Las Cruces motel yesterday. The suspected felon was wanted in an ongoing investigation involving aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and battery assault against a household.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Name is Joan, and I grew up here.
Absolutely. Hey, it's Kelly, 6:34, and so the only weather that I've got for you, we're flash flooding until 8 p.m., but 8 a.m., but I've seen, and I've seen that it, there's big clouds that are still coming up from the south. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
My name is Joan, and
yes.
I have a little weather story.
Good.
I grew up here, and in 1935, in the middle of August, they had a rainstorm that had 7 inches in 7 hours.
Wow.
And people were going around town in rowboats. And
holy cow. Now, what year was that?
1935.
Do you remember that, or you were told about it?
Well, I was only 4 at the time. My late husband was about 5, and they lived on the corner of Alameda and Amador, and people came in. As they went with their cars, they would splash water into the house. But
wow.
He remembers a little of it, but I don't. But I remember seeing water around town over by court, and they had a lot of there was water that lasted there for a long time. But as far as I know, that's one of the worst it's ever been in this area.
Well, that's a remarkable memory. And 7 inches in 7 hours, it's got to be a record.
I think it probably is. It was the middle of August in 1935.
Yeah, you've obviously got a lot of stories about the local area.
Yes. Yeah.
Are we changing for the better or for the worse, in your opinion?
Well.
A little of both.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, that's and how big was the town approximately when you were a little kid?
Oh, it was only a few thousand.
Wow, so you've seen like 100 times 100 increase in population.
Yes, from a few thousand to around, I believe it's 100,000 or so, isn't it now?
Yeah, 100,000, but there's another 100,000 in the county.
Yeah, yes. Used to know everybody, but now.
Yeah, yeah. Of course you're good. So what are some of the most notable changes in your mind from when it was just a small town?
Well, it was Solano and El Paseo were upper and lower college roads. And when you went out there, that was as far as the town went.
Uh-huh. And was it just pretty much just deserty, or was there more
yeah.
brush, or pretty dry?
It was pretty dead. Oh, it was desert for years.
And when did the pecan industry take off?
I think that took off in the 30s when Stallman got started.
How about the chilies, where they were growing those already when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And any other major changes? I guess there's been a ton of them, but...
Well, I can't think of them right at the moment, but it's... yes, I can. And now we have people... living right up against the Oregon Mountains, so.
Yeah, well, I guess they got rid of those, more of those people with this, whatever you call it, this park or whatever. But interesting. Well, I'm sure, like I say, I wish I had all your memories. I'd feel like I knew the town better. But thanks for calling in. Anything else?
No, I believe that's it.
And your first name was?
Joan.
Joan, thank you so much for the call. It was very illuminating.
Okay.
Stay dry.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, let's take a little break here, and we will, I guess Sandy Jones is going to be coming on this show, not today, but in the near future. I just got word from that. So trying to get the Reese family to come on, but I didn't get a call back on my I called them and invited them on the show, but I'll call them again. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 638 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. We will be right back. All right, and so you've heard about that, undoubtedly a little bit about that dispatcher who hung up on the girl where it said that he wasn't going to deal with it up in Albuquerque. And the upshot was that this young man who had been shot with a gun in his had a female teenage caller to the 911 that was basically the guy just told her he wasn't going to deal with it. So check this out.
Person called 911 after someone shot Manzano High student Jaden Chavez Silver. He was at a house party in Northeast Albuquerque.
Chris Ramirez is in our newsroom tonight, and Chris spoke to Jaden's coach and family friend about that call. Chris.
Yeah, and guys, that dispatcher that you just heard right there is Albuquerque firefighter Matt Sanchez. Now, after hearing this, the fire chief launched an internal investigation and reassigned Sanchez's work. He's no longer doing dispatch work tonight. However, guys, the facts speak for themselves. That teenager was dying, and the man who's trained and paid to help hung up the line.
By every account, 17-year-old Jaden Chavez Silver was loved. He was an athletic standout at Manzano High School, and his killer is still on the loose. His friends and family wanted a win. Tonight, they got a blow. This is his coach, and he's speaking on behalf of Jaden's mom, Nicole.
She had heard the rumors. The family had heard the rumors about the 911 call. And today, just the realization of it just broke their hearts.
Jaden's family told Dan they watched our 5 o'clock news.
First, an Albuquerque firefighter has been reassigned after hanging up on a frantic 911 caller.
And for the first time, Jaden's family heard this emotional 911 call.
I'm keeping him alive.
Okay, is he not breathing?
Barely. Hey, one of us. Stay okay, one of us.
And with that, the dispatcher disconnected the line.
At this moment, it's just heartbreak. Losing your son, it's heartbreaking. And there's no getting around it, and it's not something that can be fixed. There's no mulligans here.
Jaden was with friends at his home in the foothills. Somebody drove by the house and fired shots inside. Jaden was struck, and then he died later at a hospital.
The family just wants justice for Jaden.
These last words are so difficult to listen to.
He's barely breathing. How many times does the tell you?
Okay, you know what, ma'am? You could deal with yourself. I'm not going to deal with this, okay?
No, I can't decide.
When compassion and understanding was needed, Albuquerque firefighter Matt Sanchez showed little.
Now, eventually, emergency vehicles did reach Jaden, but, you know, there's just so many questions that remain. Did that hang-up delay any kind of services for the teenager? Did that woman have to call 911 again? And what does this say to the rest of our community who may rely on 911 in the future? Those are all questions that we're certainly looking into. We're in the newsroom tonight. Chris Ramirez, KOB Eyewitness News.
I mean, obviously... Obviously, and I've got to hold on a second here, just a little bit more on this this clip for you. I thought it was done, but here's I've got a clip also from the AFD chief of police.
And what does this say to the rest of our community who may rely on 911 in the future? Those are all questions that we're certainly looking into. We're in the newsroom tonight. Chris Ramirez, KOB Eyewitness News 4.
And Albuquerque Fire Chief David Downey sent us a statement. He says, after learning of the alleged misconduct, driver Matthew Sanchez was immediately removed from the dispatch center and placed on administrative assignment. An internal investigation has been initiated. As the chief of the department, I am taking the allegation very seriously.
Well, and I've read that he has resigned, which is totally appropriate, obviously, but... That's incredible. I've honestly never heard of that before. And I wonder, I mean, is maybe he had his own problems and couldn't really deal with it. But I wonder, it kind of really makes you wonder about these, some of these people that are on these 911 call lines. You expect people to be frantic and freaking out and panicking and cursing and everything. That's got to be. You know, that's got to be the baseline for these situations. Somebody's dying. And the girl on the phone was just a teenager. Now, here is the AFD chief on this.
No, I didn't die.
It was a 911 call literally heard around the world. An AFD dispatcher resigned after hanging up on a woman who cursed during a call about a teen who was shot and later died. The whole situation left a lot of questions, and today we took them to the fire chief. David Downey tells our Caleb James that taking responsibility is the only way to regain public trust.
Is he breathing?
Yeah, he's barely breathing. How many times did the tell you?
Okay, you know what, ma'am? You can deal with yourself. I'm not going to deal with this, okay?
No, I can't.
He hung up on her. I was stunned.
Albuquerque Fire Chief David Downey was one of the first people to hear the now infamous June 26, 911 call to dispatcher Matthew Sanchez.
I heard about it the following day, so we immediately removed him from the 911 center.
Downey says Sanchez has been on backroom desk duty for about a month now. Monday, Downey says KOB alerted him to the leaked 911 call of Sanchez hanging up on a 911 caller as she tries to keep 17-year-old Jaden Chavez Silver alive. Sanchez resigned Tuesday, one day after the call was made public.
We took a hit on this one, and people should be outraged. And they should hold us accountable.
According to the department, Sanchez had one disciplinary blemish on his record from a 2012 incident not related to his dispatch center duties. Downey says the public benefits from Sanchez's resignation.
The public has very high expectations and standards for their firefighters, and he didn't meet those standards.
But his position in the dispatch center was a promotion to begin with for Sanchez. Downey says the June call has him taking a closer look at training. According to a review, Downey says Sanchez did everything technically right. He dispatched first responders 80 seconds before hanging up the call. But that is not the sort of training Downey is concerned with.
I think what the problem obviously here is it's not the technicalities, the methodical procedures of dispatch and response. It's understanding the human element of the 911 caller.
And ensuring dispatchers understand that human element will be a priority moving forward.
To say somebody used a swear word or elevated tones, that's an excuse. It's an excuse. Our job is to work through that and understand the situation they're in and do our job well.
Reporting in Albuquerque, I'm...
All right, so anyway, we'll take another break here and got some more stories for you. But there is a flash flood warning for about the next little bit over an hour in the valley. And I've got some headlines here for you. Bill Clinton is back in the news, and what has happened is they've got an interview with the security detail, the Secret Service. Some former members have written a book, and they say that, number one, Bill Clinton has a girlfriend that they nicknamed the Energizer, and no one's allowed to get her name. Everybody else in the family has to give their name and their, you know, address or whatever. And so nobody's allowed to really interview her. And large chested blonde, you can imagine. Fake blonde, fake chest, but apparently very energetic. And they say that the marriage between Hillary and Bill Clinton is a complete sham. That they not only do not sleep in the same bed, but they often don't even sleep in the same house. And it's a marriage of convenience. And that Hillary, to be assigned to Hillary's detail, is considered to be in the Secret Service a punishment because she is so rude and obnoxious and thankless and just a despicable person to work for, according to this book. All right. The GDP, gross domestic product, the rate of growth in the country is at 2.3%, which is being called the worst expansion since World War II. Is it now revealed to be even weaker? And we were told that the economy was on the mend. And don't forget, you need 3% growth just to tread water, to replace jobs and create new jobs for new people coming in. And there's a massive number of illegal people who've been given job permits that would basically wipe out the increased number of jobs in about the last decade. 1 in 3 adults living with parents, which is not a good sign. And you've got some other things. Here's some more on the border issue. Feds have given amnesty papers to 664,607 illegals. Less than 1% of the applicants are interviewed in person. And you know that it's been reported that the vast majority of people are able to get over the border if they're coming here to enter illegally. And once they get inside here, the ones that are caught, that 95% of those people will never show up for any hearing. So you've got 99.99% of the people trying to enter this country who are then they're just here. And I mean, you can take it from the left to the right. You can say that they are like Nancy Pelosi goes down to the border with her big plastic smile on her face and says, "Welcome, Americans, welcome." So there's no difference in the far left between an American and a non-American. You can go to the right and say all these people should be kicked out. Whatever your position is, there's an impact of these people, and the impact has been to lessen the recovery, what little recovery we've had, for all the people that are here legally. So this idea that there's just an upside to this is absolutely crazy. And, you know, I think a lot of these people that are in power, I don't even think they care about what's going to happen in 20 years when they're out of office. All they care about right now is getting a little bump on these issues. Now, Trump is doubling the numbers of Jeb Bush, and Mike Savage is calling him the Winston Churchill of our time. And so he's not going away anytime soon. Now, there is solar storms that are coming, and the Japanese have been seeing these mysterious white balls floating over their country. A linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles says people are going to be absolutely shocked by Tim Tebow, by the way, for you Tim Tebow lovers out there. And trying to see what else you might find interesting. All right, so here's a good one. Priest performs exorcism from helicopter to banish evil from town. Now, that's incredible. I mean, why don't they just get on the internet and say, I'm gonna do an exorcism on the whole world for any who... I mean, get in a jet and fly around the earth, you know? All right, Bill de Blasio, who's basically a Marxist socialist leader of New York City, he doesn't spend very much time in there. Life in New York City has plummeted in terms of quality of life. The crime is skyrocketing. And there's now a lot more homeless problems, which was kind of symbolized by a guy standing in the middle of the street in looked like rush hour, peeing on the road, a homeless person wearing a blanket. And so all of the gains that were made during the years of Bloomberg took credit for them, but these gains occurred during Giuliani. They're all going down the toilet while Bill de Blasio lectures people about how people should act. It's just absolutely crazy. But anyway, all right, so let's take a break on the hour and come back and hit some of these stories. My word. Exercising a city from a helicopter. I don't know if that's part of Vatican protocol. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, 805-618-02 text. We will be back. We've got a flash flood warning for the next hour, so be on guard. A lot of water on the street.
Yesterday, days before, sun is cold and rain. heart, I know they're not paid for all my time. You're forever on the go, the circle fast and slow. I know it can't stop. I wonder.
Kelly, this is Emily. Did I miss the rain story?
It's who?
This is Emily.
Hey, Emily, what's going on?
Well, I had a rain story. I was driving last night in the thundering and lightning off of Camino Real and Lopez Road, and I saw something moving in the road, and I stopped with a dog.
I thought she was injured.
I opened my door, and she jumped in my truck. So I'm looking for her home. If you can announce it on the radio, she's an Australian cattle dog.
Hold on, great dog. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Do you want to, I'm going to be coming back on about 7:06. Do you want to just like put the phone down and do something and then come back, pick it up and let.
Sure.
And then, okay. I won't even put you on hold. I'll just leave the line open. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee, but this sounds like a great story to announce live.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. I'll call right back.
No. Well, do you want to stay on the line?
Sure. I'll just stay on the line.
Stay on the line. You don't have to stay next to the phone because we won't be going on for 5 minutes. All right.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Your first name is Emily?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks. They have to wait 6 minutes. I'm going to be on the air, but I got to not be distracted by him. So if you want to either 6 minutes. Well, we could wait or, hon, if you go out there, I guarantee he's going to come on when you come on and I'm going to get off. You gonna take them through the front? Come on, sweetie. I should let him hear the frog. You cannot have them come back in. Please keep them quiet, hon.
Emily, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're just about ready.
Okay. This is what I'm going to do, too. Leave the door open, hon.
What's that?
No, I was going to hear the frogs in the back, too. I was going to let you listen to them. They're so loud.
Oh, wow.
They're very loud. I live out in the country.
I would guess. All right. Well, we're just about on 7:06, and it is the 30th of July, and I've got a caller. And it's Emily, and she had mentioned that she'd had this experience last night in the weather and involving a dog. Emily, go ahead.
Yes, I was driving down Camino Real and Locust Road. It was thundering and lightning. I saw something moving in the road, so I went ahead and stopped. I opened up my door, and it was a female Australian cattle dog. So I always carry a leash and treats in my truck. I went to approach her. She was crying. She jumped right in my truck. So now we have her in our back porch, and I need to find her home. So I'm going to call her Puddles.
Oh, a puddle soaked. That's good. It's no, so no tags or anything on her?
She just had a collar. It was a pink collar. That's it. The tag might have fallen off, but it's country road out there, so I'm sure she belongs to someone. She's a great dog. She obeys. She just jumped in my husband's lap. So I'm going to just – I posted it on Facebook, and all my friends circulated the post. So we hope we find her home.
Sounds like a great dog, and those are among the, I think, the smartest dogs that there are.
Yeah, and if I don't find the home, I'm keeping her. I have three others, and they've already introduced themselves.
She's probably already herding them around.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yes. And one more time, just as close as you can, what was the location where the dog was found?
It's behind Albertson's. That road is Camino Real, and the crossroad is Locust Road.
Okay, so which Albertson's, though, just to let people who may not know?
The one on Highway 70.
Oh, okay.
So you come behind that road, you go all the way down, coming up north towards RTD Hardware Store.
Yeah.
And there's Locust Road that hooks to Main.
Right.
You jumped right in there.
Okay, but... go ahead.
Should I get my number?
You can, sure.
Okay, it's 575-640-9985.
Okay, well, we really appreciate it. Thanks for saving the dog, and thanks for letting us know. And I'm sure somebody is missing their pooch right now.
Yeah, thank you,
Thanks,
Kelly.
Emily. Yeah, have a great day. All right, folks. Those are kind of legendary animals, those Australian herding dogs. So anyway, as I was pointing out, this is back to, I'm just looking at this story on Tim Tebow, Eagles linebacker. Tebow going to shock a lot of people. He's going to make the team, and he's going to play a lot. In the meantime, a priest performing an exorcism from a helicopter, although I don't think there's any connection between the two. But anyway, I've got this story out there. Now, nobody can be shocked that Bill Clinton's back in the news, really, but they say he's still at it. I've got a little clip of the interview, and this is from a show by the name of Chris Stiegel, and he's talking to an author named Ron Kessler about his security detail with the Clintons. And just play a little clip from this. And got it right here, in theory. All right, I couldn't get it to stop a minute ago. Now I can't get it to start. So I'll see if I can. This is off the Blaze.
Sorry about the Secret Service agents assigned to President Obama hiring prostitutes down in Cartagena. Remember that story? That story was broken by an award-winning investigative reporter named Ronald Kessler. And he found out that the Secret Service allowed uninvited guests to crash White House state dinners. Security at the White House has really been in question. But Secret Service people, Dan Bongino, one of our great friends who fills in from time to time, has shared what he feels comfortable sharing about his time as a Secret Service agent himself, under a couple of different presidents, this one and then George W. Bush before. But Ronald Kessler's book is The First Family Detail, Secret Service Agents Reveal the Hidden Lives of the Presidents. These guys, men and women, they don't like to talk much about this, Ronald, so that's what makes this book kind of rare. Good morning.
Hey, good to be with you.
They don't talk a lot about it. And I know when Dan, I don't know if you've ever met or talked to Dan Bongino, but
sure.
Dan is always very careful to say, well, you know, I'm probably not going to go there, or I don't want to go that far with you. He'll kind of, you know, he'll cut himself off at some point in the conversation if he thinks it's gone too far, gotten too close.
Well, I got agents to open up and reveal everything. Usually I would waterboard them. That worked pretty well. the real story is in this book, The First Family Detail, both the problems within the Secret Service that have led to all these lapses, but and also what they see behind the scenes, what our leaders are really like. And when you find that out, you know, it can be pretty, pretty shocking.
What I've been told that these guys feel a tremendous brotherhood with one another. They don't, you know, they don't break the code. They don't break the bonds of silence very easily. So what was the impetus for sharing things with you? I assume they were all off the record. Did any of them give them name or permission to print their name or no?
Yeah, about half of the quotes in the book are on the record. Those, of course, would be former agents. Current agents could not be quoted on the record. But, you know, I really got the whole picture, both about how they protect and the culture that has led to this corner cutting. It's a culture within the management, not among the agents. You know, agents like Dan Bongino are patriots. They sign up to take a bullet for the president, but you know, the management has this attitude of covering up, of dismissing problems, of retaliating against agents who do report problems. And unfortunately, President Obama's decision to appoint Joseph Clancy, a veteran agent, to continue as director has just continued the same culture, because he really represents that culture. But, you know, when you get into what really goes on behind the scenes, for example, Hillary Clinton pretends to be this champion of the little people. She's going to help the middle class. She's compassionate. But the reality behind the scenes is that she treats her agents and others less powerful than she is with contempt. In fact, she's so abusive to agents that being assigned to her detail is considered a form of punishment. And that tells you something about her character.
Is that right? How does that work, by the way? How long are you given detail? People ask me this often, and I don't necessarily know the answer. You're president, a first lady, and then you vacate the office. Like George and Laura Bush, are they assigned detail for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, they are. Not the kids, but the former president and a spouse, as long as she doesn't get divorced. So that's a good reason not to get divorced. And typically the same agents will be on a detail for the first 4 years of a president's term, and then if he or she is reelected, they'll get a new crew.
So Hillary, who's running now for office herself, she's guarded by the same her when she was a senator and a secretary of state.
She's still guarded. You know, not necessarily the same agents. You know, that's quite a long duration.
Yeah.
And when she was secretary of state, actually, because they have a diplomatic security service that guards the top officials, she was guarded during the day by the State Department and at night by Secret Service.
Now, in this book, and by the way, Ronald Kessler's with us, The First Family Detail is the name of the book, Secret Service Agents Reveal the Hidden Lives of Presidents. You say in this book, Bill's still up to it.
Yes, I reveal that he has a blonde, busty mistress, and she has been codenamed Energizer by agents.
Are you serious, Ronald? Really?
Yeah, well, this is, you know, unofficially, but that is what they call her. And the reason is that the first letter of each family's code name is the same. So in the case of the Clintons, he is Eagle, Hillary is Evergreen, and so the mistress became Energizer. And she comes in to the Chappaqua home whenever Hillary leaves, the details coordinate to make sure that they don't cross paths. She, unlike Hillary, is very nice to agents. She'll bring cookies one hot summer day. She was wearing a tank top, and she came in with her SUV, and she offered these cookies through the window of her SUV to the agent at the gate, and he noticed that her breasts are enhanced. So we have every detail in this book, The First Family Detail.
Now, here's the thing, Ronald. People can make of this what they want, but I have always maintained that Secret Service agents with the Clintons must see things, must have seen things that would make our heads spin. And even today, I don't know what they do in their personal lives. I have long maintained and held that there can't possibly be a scenario I see the two of them sleeping in the same room together ever. I look at the two of them and they reek of a marriage of convenience for political sake, and I bet they don't even sleep under the same roof most times.
That's right. You're absolutely right. No, agents say that it's a business relationship. It's not a marriage at all.
Yeah.
And it's a total fake. You know, like everything else about Hillary. I mean, it's just a big show and a scam. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And so just for the sake of pressing you on this, for people listening in, these woman and things like this are people that are actual agents that have given you comment on and off record that you collected. This is not just you kind of grasping at straws or writing salacious stuff for the fun of it.
Yeah, no, I was on the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. You know, I don't make up things. And you can tell, I think, from the accounts that they're very detailed. For example, with the Energizer, agents are instructed not to ask for her ID or to ask her to sign in, even though any other Clinton relative, for example, has to sign in. And then, you know, I describe in detail just what the security arrangements are at the home, where the agents are. So you can tell that it's the real thing.
All right. So there's just a little bit more of that clip, but you get the idea. What do you think about that? Of course, who in their right mind thought that Bill Clinton would stop fooling around? But I mean, basically, maybe the problem with this book is that everything, it sounds like everything that they are talking about, everybody already believes. But let's take a break. It is 7:18. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in at 805-61802 text. Sympathetic figures. And we'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Yes, this is Deborah.
Hey, what's going on?
Yes, I was wondering, have you discussed in your program at all? I've been noticing that in grocery stores, that people in the grocery stores aren't allowed to ask people for proof that the dog that's in the grocery carts are they don't have to show proof. They get just ask, is that a service dog? And that's it. And I think that's very unsanitary.
All right. Did you want to stay on hold and mention that on the air?
Yes, please.
Oh, all right. Put you on hold. It's 7:22. It's rainy outside. There's a flash flood warning until 8 a.m. And we had a pretty wet night last night. And from what I can gather from my weather sources, I think we got at least an inch last night. We've got Deborah on the line, and Deborah is going to talk about her concern about some of these rather unsavory animals that are being allowed into our public supermarkets. Deborah?
First of all, I'm a very big animal lover.
What's your favorite dish?
My favorite dish.
Sirloin.
Oh no, I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, okay. You don't love animals that way.
I love animals. Oh, I love animals.
Okay.
Now my concern is this. I've asked in different stores, and it's becoming more rampant, that they do not have to be asked when they have a dog sitting in a shopping cart, not even a blanket underneath them. And that's very unsanitary.
To catch the fleas, yes. Go ahead.
Well, you know, whatever. You know, they don't wear clothes and stuff in.
Well, I mean,
they
could be defecating in those carts.
Right. This is what I mean. It's very, but they don't have to be proved that they are even a service dog. They just ask them if they are, and that's all they're allowed to do.
What if they were to tell you, though, this is my non-human companion. I don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable without my little chihuahua.
No, I understand that for emotional. I understand that. But please put a blanket or something if they're in the shopping cart. You know, and I'm just wondering if other people have noticed and seen this.
I see it all the time. I see people walking around with a dog under their arm like a football. And I'm like, what are you, you know, you like walk into the store. What are you doing? You know, I mean, I'm not really offended, but I didn't even think about the various concerns. There's obviously hair falling down. Right. You know, there's the issue. Hold on a second. Let's get through these. Fleas or other parasites. There's also the issue of the dog being relieving itself because animals don't, you know. I mean, a lot of times they don't have any way to say, I need to use the bathroom. And also there's people that are just plain uncomfortable around these little critters.
Well, you're putting food in your cart, then you're going to put it in your refrigerator. And I couldn't help myself. Just a few days ago, Albertsons, I love on El Paseo, this man is getting a beautiful peaches and putting where children usually sit, not even with a bag, a plastic bag. He's putting it in there.
He sounds very
laying there. And I have to tell him, please, people put their dogs in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So what should the rule be, Deborah?
You know what? I mean, people can even get those little coats they wear, the Sabbath service dog. They need to prove. They have to have on them, please. Proof that this is a service dog with a picture and everything. What can we do this? Oh my God!
What about those little luggage compartments that have the screen on the end, where the dog, you know, the people taking it through the airport, and you see these sad eyes looking through the screen?
Right.
Let me out.
Right.
Let me out. All right. So that's a good point. Thanks. Thanks, Deborah. I really appreciate the call and have a wonderful day. All right, folks, come on now. Keep those gosh dang pooches in their proper place. So what do you think about that? Somebody's emotionally tied to their animal to the extent that they don't seem to be able to survive without having the animal around. I get this. You go to Starbucks or whatever, which certainly has leash rules, and there's leash laws in the city, and the person's sitting there drinking their coffee and their dog is off the leash. And, you know, you come up, I mean, I got to be totally honest. Maybe I'm a chicken, but, I'm always nervous about these animals because, you know, to the people, they are members of the family. Oh, they wouldn't hurt a flea. They'd at least hurt a flea in case they get a flea. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you've got to take these people's words on the fact that they are, that these animals are harmless, but why should you have to do that? Why not have the animal on a leash? Why is it so important that you treat your animals like members of the family in public, and also that other people do too? I get it that the dog's a member of your family. It's not a member of my family. And I get a little nervous. I've had dogs come up and growl at me outside of Starbucks and places like that. And it is just so unnerving. I'm like, what are you supposed to do? Dash a cup of hot, coffee in the dog's face to get it to back off. You know, get down, Fido. We got another call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Go, Trumper. Hello, any Democratic presidential elect in 16. You better believe it.
All right. So you're okay. Look, Hillary appears to be going through a little bit of whitewater, if you'll pardon the pun. But what's going to happen with her? We're talking to Frankie, by the way, folks.
No, hey, you know, I'll tell you know, right now there's a recent poll out, and you know, I don't know who it was, but I heard it on your radio program, or that is to say KOBE, right, that Trump beats every Republican out there except any Democrat.
Yeah, let's be honest here. The lay of the land is totally different in a primary as opposed to a general election. There's a couple of things that happen in primaries is people get their favorites, and then they stick with their favorites. You know, they ride their favorite until they can't go any farther. And then there's the general election. Maybe your favorite makes it, maybe not. Then you got to switch over to the candidate that's representing your party, your movement. I think it's quite possible that Trump could attract a lot more support. The more people hear him in a political context and hear him talk about political ideas, the less they're going to think about his time with the on TV or some outrageous thing he said 5 or 10 years ago. Don't you think?
You hope to believe.
Well, I mean, what is Hillary really the move of the future?
Stop to back up a minute. Trump, it's a fact of life. By any classified person that follows polls and stuff, right, is that you Republicans need at least 40% of Hispanics to win the general election. You'll be lucky with Trump as your leader if he even gets anywhere north of 4% with him beating up on the Hispanics and talking terrible about them and things like that.
Just out of curiosity, where does the 4% number come other than, you know?
I just threw that out there. I had to have a number to throw out.
All right, so look.
Maybe none.
Frankie, just set Trump aside for a second. Hillary Clinton, is she not a disaster?
No, she's great. I mean,
why?
She's a wonderful Secretary of State.
Frankie, just being a survivor of a disaster doesn't make you a hero. What is so great about her?
Like I just told you, I mean, first off, you know, she was a great Secretary of State, great New York senator, a great first lady.
This is what I can't take from the left, this kind of blind allegiance. You know, it is. Why is she so wonderful? Why is someone who's so excessive in their basic political positions as Bernie Sanders, who is an out of the closet socialist? How could he possibly get any support if Hillary's credible?
Well, I mean, I like Bernie too. He's really out. He's an extreme progressive, no question about that. And we do have our left side and Democratic Party as there are extreme conservatives, you know. But you know, we're more level-headed, even on the most extreme progressive, than the whack job kooks on your side.
But Barack Obama is level-headed.
Oh yeah. Oh, no, he's going to go down as one of the greatest. He's going to knock Ronnie Reagan right out of the box. He's going to be that great. You mark my words. You mark my words. These presidential historians are going to rate him probably one of the top three United States presidents.
When I get off the show, I think I'm just going to go home and get back in bed. I can't take it.
Is that right? I'm sorry to ruin your day.
It's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. This Iran is like a capstone of the most ridiculous administration in history.
So that means all these other countries that voted along with it, like France, Russia, China, Germany, they're kooky too. They're all nutso.
If you say so, Frankie, you'd be an expert on that. But I don't really care what other countries support. I mean, this idea that the left rolls out every time they need an argument, here's the consensus, everybody's behind this, that doesn't mean anything to me. What is the?
It does.
Well, it doesn't. The fallacy.
You're being disingenuous.
It's called the Democratic fallacy. To say something is right or true because more than 50% of the people support it is absolutely absurd. I can go back in history and show thousands of examples of things that you would howl at and say, oh, that was so false. But the people at the time supported it.
Well, of course, you know, that's the human dimension. The Supreme Court voted that blacks were not really humans or something, whatever.
Thank you very much.
People get smart, Kelly.
All right. So anyway, Frankie, I got to take a break, but thank you for depressing me and the audience.
Have a good day, Kelly.
Thanks for the call, Frankie. God bless you. See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Whew. Where's the nearest bathroom? Anyway, all right, so we'll take a break here. Got to regain my bearings. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 and 805-6180. We'll be right back. And by the way, feel free. Well, I don't know. I love Frankie's calls, but I find them a little bit factually challenged. Where's the facts? Where's the beef? Anyway, 7:33, we'll be right back, and we got about another half of an hour on our flood warning. There's a couple of stories I thought you might find of note, and one of them is there's this thing that's this meme. A meme is kind of a it's kind of a saying or an idea that's being passed around the culture, the kind of the current issue or whatever. But the question is, are we a barbaric country? Because a couple of people have pointed out the contradictory or the ironic or the ridiculous that we're getting all upset about Cecil the Lion being killed, which I personally felt a gut reaction to that. It upset me. I guess I find lions to be so magnificent. Why do people have to go kill lions? A lion is not something that you would hunt for its meat. And traditionally or in the past, people have hunted it for trophies, but I don't understand, I guess, and I am a hunter, and 100% behind hunting, but for a couple of reasons, one of which is the natural ecosystem, the natural order has been influenced by man, and we've got rid a lot of these apex predators in North America, for example. And when we almost lost the mule deer population, this is something that I found out about when I was studying for hunter safety in the day, and so we'd almost lost the mule deer population in the United States, as I recall. I'll have to go back and reread this a little bit to make sure my facts are straight, and we didn't and so nobody was allowed to shoot these things, and they almost got wiped out by I think it was around we have a phone call here, but turn down your radio, please. Well, around the area of the Grand Canyon, there was these deer were being preserved, and so basically, because there was no natural predators, they almost got overpopulated and died out. So anyway, there's a reason for us to have hunting to keep these animal populations in check. Anyway, thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you today?
Good, Jim. How you doing? And what's on
I'm
your
good,
mind?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Good.
Well, a quick comment on this and then maybe something that Frankie said, but, you know, I'm not making this as a blanket of all people, but I would think a lot of the people that are really ticked off this law probably they have no problem with aborting babies.
Yeah, and that's where I was going with this. How is it that we feel all of this, and I'll admit it myself, I saw the picture of this lion. I mean, there's something about lions, you love them. They're just so regal. They're so powerful. They're so powerful that they're kind of cocky and they're lazy. You know, they kind of walk around in a lazy way because they're the top of the heap. But how can we express so much emotion about this lion and not care about human beings being killed? A fetus is human. Whether you want to call it a person is a political decision, in my opinion. There's no reason to not call it a person, you know, but they're humans. They're developmental humans, but we don't care about 1.3 million people getting slaughtered every year and then selling the parts.
Right. And that's the thing that when you think about it, Kelly, that's so patently absurd for people to think like this, how they value. Listen, I love animals. I've had dogs my whole life. I just love watching their faces. I think they're cute. But and lions, I agree with you. Matter of fact, you may not like this, but I have a lion tattooed on my leg because I think they're so regal and I think they're so powerful. And I related mine to more of the religious aspect of the Lion of Judah. But
yeah.
beside that point, my first statement was I think there's a lot of people that don't care that we kill humans, but boy, just don't touch an animal, okay?
That really is. I think people do. That animals are pure-hearted. That they feel like animals are pure-hearted. If a baby gets aborted, that's a part of this political war, and people have rights to do that. But don't touch an animal. If you abuse an animal, that's like as bad as being a pedophile.
Yeah, you might as well be, as far as they're concerned. You know, animals. I've always told people who talk to me about this subject, Kelly. I've always said that. Animals do not kill because they hate. Animals kill for two reasons: to protect and to eat. human beings kill for it because they hate a lot of times.
Yeah. What about Cujo, though? Cujo the dog seemed to have an evil spirit.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to go back real quickly with Frank and let's go then.
Briefly.
The Hispanic population. Well, I tell you, I have a lot of Hispanic friends here. They're really good friends of mine, developed since the time we retired here years ago. They're great people. But, you know, when he made the statement that you will alienate the Hispanic vote. Now, maybe you've heard this, and if I say this, then tell me if you heard or if I'm wrong. But they said in the last election with Mitt Romney, had he not gotten but 1% or maybe even less of the total Hispanic vote and hardly any of the black vote, had the conservative base come out, he still would have won.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think that shows that you cannot put your hopes on a person who's in the middle of the road to represent your party. Thanks for the call, Jim. All right, folks. About that, I will say this, that Mitt Romney has a Mexican history. He's got a Mexican history, and he didn't focus on it. Maybe he was embarrassed of the polygamy, and it was this polygamous commune, from what I understand, down in Mexico that he's related to, but he should have gone with it. I mean, why not? You're part Mexican. He's a guy, was a handsome guy when he was growing up, like a movie star, and tap into that Mexican heritage, and I mean, you know, make the most of it. We have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Neil. How you doing?
Good, Neil. What's going on?
Hey, one real quick point about the lion killing versus killing babies. If you look at page 2, I think it's in the paper today, A2, there's a picture of a couple ladies posting hate mail, if you will, on the guy who killed Cecil the lion on the front of his dentistry office. It says, one of them says rotten hell, one of them says you're a butcher, and there's some sort of cavity, wet blob. Anyway, my point is, look at the reaction between the left and the right when it comes to butchers. That's the difference.
I agree 100%.
I think that's kind of sad if the right decided to do something like that in the front of an abortion clinic, a Planned Parenthood office. I think we would be absolutely demonized by the media.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's a good point. It's kind of where I was going at with this whole thing. It's like, how do you not have any sympathy for a human being? I mean, you know, Neil, I think we've got an unsympathetic society now, and I mean, it's instrumental. I deal with you and you deal with me because we both have something to gain from it, and it's like everything is business, and there's no compassion, there's no sympathy, there's no sense, you know, in the culture that people have any worth beyond their utilitarian, their instrumental value.
And there's no patience either to wait for the facts to come out. Now, if this guy did what he did illegally, I say hang the guy, but metaphorically speaking. But if he legitimately did what he did and his guides told him it was legal, there is nothing wrong with it, and it was not his intent to illegally kill this lion who was under study in the park, then the guy should be guy's innocent.
It's got to be rule of law, and I think most people understand instinctively that a lot of the governments in Africa are very corrupt. So you could have something like this Cecil, this national symbol, who was at the same time kind of auctioned off through a system of tags or whatever, like you say, the dentist could have been legally doing what he was doing, but I mean, I think the idea of game hunting this in this day and age, with all of the problems with these shrinking herds, the elephants, the rhinos, and everything, I think people, I just personally as a hunter, I don't have any sympathy for it, you know?
Yeah, you know, I see what you're saying, but I do think that if it is legal, there's a reason why the government is allowing it to be legal.
What about corruption? What about corruption? What if these are just corrupt countries that we know so many of these countries, and I read some fascinating articles on these former dictators who had amassed like billions of dollars of wealth and just totally despoiled their country. There was no logic behind what they were doing except self-aggrandizement. Thanks for the call, Neil. I got to run here. All right, folks. Here's the thing. I have one more call here, but I'm going to put them on hold. Thanks for the call. Oh, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Okay. All right. So anyway, got to take a break here, and we will come back and finish her out. What I feel about the lion. The lion, there was an emotional reaction, and it was so senseless. But ultimately, one baby is worth more than a billion lions. You know, that's how I see it. And it's pretty sad that we could have an emotional reaction to a lion being killed halfway around the world, but we don't care anything about killing babies in a way that they're not crunched up so we can sell their organs for research or whatever else they use them for, and at the same time claim that they're not human beings. We'll be right back.
Clouds of mystery falling, confusion on the ground.
Okay, so I got some information for you on this storm. It looks like we've gotten 1.14 inches from the storm. My understanding of this is it would be from yesterday in the late afternoon, five-ish. Now, I just looked up how much do we get in a year on average. We get less than 10 inches, 9.76 inches. On average. So we have gotten about 10% or more, 10 or 15% of our yearly average in rain in the last 12 hours, the last, what do you think about that, huh? Pretty impressive, huh? So anyway, it is, well, we're just about through the period of, that they're calling for it to be a flash flood, and I'm looking at the Doppler on that one, and it says today's rain 0.26, so a quarter of an inch today. We've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Tom. Happy monsoon season.
Thanks a lot, man. How's it going?
I'm good. Throughout history, or for millennia, there've been sacrificing babies.
Yeah.
To Moloch, they would heat mm-hmm. the bronze idol up to,
yep.
Red hot, put the baby onto the arms yeah. of the idol and let
Carthage,
the,
as a matter of fact, Tom in Carthage, I had mentioned this the other day on the show, that there has been a study of these, they found these cemeteries over in Carthage. Carthage was the great enemy of Rome in the day. In the ancient world, and there was a rumor that they were sacrificing babies, and they found proof. It wasn't just propaganda. They found proof on many, many of these markers on these graves. Thank you, God, for taking our sacrifice, and it's the grave of a baby. And so there's tens of thousands of them. So, yeah, it's always been out there.
The Aztecs practiced it, and along with the Druids also. They did it, too.
Yeah, the Druids did
murder going on. One other thing I wanted to mention was one-fifth of the population of El Salvador now lives in the United States. A lot of them have congregated in Williamsburg, and a lot of them are those Maratucci, the 13s. They're having a big gang problem over there in Williamsburg right now.
Sounds terrible. As long as they don't become mariachis, we may survive it. But thanks
yeah,
a lot.
Good day.
Have a good day. All right. I was going to do that on the show a couple of days ago, and the time didn't work out, but I'll do that tomorrow, a little bit of analysis. We are turning, and this is undoubtedly one of the goals of the current administration, turning the country blue, turning it Democrat by way of a lot of immigrants and illegal immigrants. What does it say about your movement's power? Its logic, its ability to persuade, that you have to get a bunch of people that are essentially uneducated in your culture uneducated in your history, not competent in the normal sense of the word in terms of being involved in the political process, that you've got to flood the country with that to get support for your movement. It doesn't say much. All right, I'm looking at El Paso radar on Doppler, and there's still more storm out there. It's passing through this area, but I'm thinking it looks like if the trend continues, we'll have some clear skies later, but it looks like another hour or two we could have some storm clouds and rain, so that's just my guess. Just one more thing. There's a question about why the Dems don't want to talk about Planned Parenthood. I think the reason is obvious. They don't have anything to gain from it. Now, in terms of Iran, John Kerry says Iran deal is not legally a treaty because you can't pass a treaty anymore. Kind of an interesting statement. I'll get into that maybe a little bit tomorrow. But here's another statement from Ashton Carter, who is Secretary of State, right? Defense Secretary Ashton Carter. No reason to foresee Iran changing behavior after this agreement. So if the person who works for Obama is saying this, there's got to be some in his party, there's got to be some truth to it. So anyway, thanks for tuning into Cruz's show at 1450 KLBE. We have one last caller. Yes. Sorry, I didn't see that there. Had the microphone in my face. Anyway, we'll meet you back here in 22 hours. Hope you have a great day on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, have a good one. Ciao. Out of